This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good morning. Frank Rollison?
Present.
Angela Kinect?
Present.
Tim Mills?
Present.
Renita Nelson?
Present.
J.D. Patterson?
Present.
Marie Walker?
Present.
And Melinda Miguel?
She stepped out. She's here.
Okay. All right, the first order of business is the approval of the August 29, 2016 committee meeting. Are there any corrections or additions from anybody that wants to come forward? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the August 29, 2016 Contracts Review Committee meeting.
This is Bernita, so moved.
J.D., second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, the next item is the approval of the minutes from September 21st, 2016 of the Contracts Review Committee. Are there any additions, corrections, or changes that anybody would like to bring forward? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the September 21st meeting of the Contracts Review Committee.
This is Bernita, so moved.
80 seconds.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are accepted as printed. All right, the next item is to go over the invoices that have been presented and what has been given to the board and the committee members are the two cover sheets that summarize all of the invoices that are attached. We can first go over the water and sewer. I can tell you that I have the original invoices in front of me. We have gone. I had a meeting yesterday with Charmaine and Yvette. We've gone through the invoices, and the invoices amounts tie out to the cover sheet that you have in front of you. The one item that I will mention to you as a refresher is item number 10, which is a refund for the utility bills. You may remember at the last meeting there was a conflict between the numbers that I had and the numbers that were presented by Opa-locka. We were out $10,000, $11,000. Turns out that one of the invoices that I had at $11,000 and change was really $1,000 and change, but with the printer and the highlighting in orange, it was difficult to make out what it was. So we've reconciled that, and the correct amount is $12,934.18. So if any of the members of the committee have any questions on the invoices dealing with the water and sewer, we can entertain those right now. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to recommend approval to the full board of the 10 water and sewer invoice packets that are before us.
This is Vernita, so moved.
J.D., second.
All those in favor of approving that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. And it's approved. Next item is to the invoices from the general fund. Again, I have all the originals in front of me. I've been through all of them with the staff yesterday. They tie out to the numbers that are in front of you. And the only one that I have some issue with is number 56, which is to Mr. James Smith, which is a item whereby the mayor has hired this individual to drive her around. We have several invoices here, one going to a funeral, one going to a one going to, a funeral. We have a women's coalition meeting. We have a downtown The mayor had an appointment at the State Building in downtown Miami. And those were all at $132 a piece. I'm told it did not go through staff. It was just submitted to staff. They can jump in here if there's something different, but that's the way I understand it. The bills got submitted by the mayor to be paid, but this is not something that staff authorized or anything of the sort.
That's correct.
That was you that. So my recommendation is to not pay that one until we get some further clarification of what's going on here. The mayor is not present at the present time. During the regular board meeting, she may bring this up herself. But my recommendation is that we don't pay this one. So with that recommendation, are there any questions from anybody on any of the items that are on the general fund invoice packet?
No questions, Frank. It's just Melinda. I just wanted you to know I was here.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right, hearing no questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve the invoices as submitted.
This is Vernita. So moved.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. It's and has passed. All right. Is there any old business that anybody wants to bring up at this time? I didn't have anything that had to be discussed. All right, let's go on to new business. I've got two recommendations here after having meetings with staff yesterday that I think we need to consider and make a recommendation to the board. The first one is dealing with payroll. As payroll is taking place now, the payroll does not come before the committee because it's a, you know, a perfunctory administrative function that by payroll has to go out. But what happens is that they make the deductions for the employees, whether it be for FRS or it be for their FICA, it be for the loans that they have for BMG that are automatically deducted. But then those are being withheld until they come before the board to make payments. And it's causing some problems with the people that are expecting to receive these payments. The group insurance, we had an issue with employees going for health care and being told that their group insurance has been temporarily suspended waiting for payment. The BMG loans that are taking place, they're starting to contact the employees individually and saying you're in arrears on your payment, and the payments have been withdrawn through payroll deduction. And like with the hurricane, and we didn't have the meeting, and we postponed this meeting. And so what I'm asking the committee to consider is approving a recommendation that those deductions that take place from payroll be treated the same as the paychecks, and that they automatically be dispersed to the recipients of why the deductions have been made. So I'll open it up for discussion. If anybody has anything they'd like to talk about at this time, I'm all ears.
Frank, I think it's a pretty good recommendation because of the fact that when people are getting paid in these withdrawals or what is it called? Yeah, withdrawals from employees' paychecks is being taken for use somewhere else that it should be timely. So I think it's a real good recommendation, and as long as it is not necessary to come back to the board every 2 weeks or held for
a month.
Right. Yes.
Any other comments from anybody? All right, I'll entertain a motion to make that recommendation to the board that the deductions be treated the same as the payment to the individual for payroll, that they be dispersed at the same time.
This is Vernita. So moved.
JD seconded.
Any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I call it for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. The second item is one that really comes down to having an issue with trying to run a city. There are small amounts of emergencies that take place and items that come up on a daily or every other day basis that those of us that are actually involved in running a municipal government, these things happen. And they have to be made timely, and somebody has to run and get a part, or somebody has to pay for something that had to have an emergency repair. And the way we're operating now is that the city has to go through the emergency process, fill out the form, then either run down Melinda or JD to get authorization, and then a check has to be cut, which is another process here, which is very cumbersome for the rest of the time, partially the lack of personnel and having an invoice in hand and that type of thing. So what I'm recommending is that there be a petty cash account set up in the amount of $1,000 that will be strictly under the control of the finance director, so that anybody having to access this will have to come to the finance director to get approval. And in her absence, I would assume the city manager would be able to have that same authority. But the control would be at the finance director. And there would be an accounting of that to the contracts committee. As I get the invoices submitted to us, we will then get a printout of what expenditures and copies of the receipts for those expenditures for that period of time so that they can operate. So I throw that out there, and I will, you know, open it up for any discussion from any member of the committee.
I just have a few questions and concerns, because I'm not sure how petty cash would work here. I'm for establishing the account. Let me make that clear. I'm just concerned about the controls and the processes that might come forward. So how would this account be controlled? Would there be limits on what can be purchased, on what could be reimbursed, things of that nature? Or is there such a process in place already?
Charmaine Parchman speaking. There's a process in place currently that we were using prior to the board coming on board. And that is we limit the expenditures to $50 per item, per request, I should say. If there is a request over that, it is automatically vetted to see if it's how urgent it is. If not, you have to go through the regular process of requesting the payment. So right now, that's what we had in place, $50. That was the cutoff.
And when you say vetted, can you explain that process as well?
If it's over $50, we look at it to see if it's urgent. If it's not, if we determine it's not really urgent or critical, we tell them to go through the process of getting the service done. We will pay them through an invoice process, AP process, as opposed to giving them cash. If it's urgent, we then provide them with an exception, and we bring it up with the city manager to indicate this is an exception to that process.
I'll tell you what my concern is, Frank. It's sort of like number 56. If that's treated as if it's a urgent petty cash request, I don't want the staff to feel like they have to grant such a thing. So I'm for establishing it, but with some sort of a oversight or authorization for certain things to come to me, especially once they get, when I say me or the chair, of course, when they get to a certain point above $50, that we be a part of that vetting process.
Okay, that's not a problem. We can do that.
If we're going to do that, I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose. I think at some point there needs to be some trust and faith in Charmaine and my ability to actually do what it is that we are supposed to do for the city. And if we're saying that this petty cash account is for urgent purposes, I would think, one, that at this point there is some comfort level with respect to, I guess, my or Charmaine's ability to make prudent decisions. And then even if it's not, then the $50 is I believe, far too low of an amount to allow for what I think we're trying to accomplish, and that's to prevent the bottleneck that we currently have. So either way, I don't know if we increase the amount that then we would then come to you, Chief, or what have you, or we basically see whether or not Charmaine and myself are capable of performing our functions as we're supposed to.
This is Frank again. I concur with that, JD. First of all, I don't think if we're setting $1,000 petty cash, I don't think there should be any limit on the amount that Charmaine or the city manager decide has to be expended out of that for some emergency that comes up. Now, I would think these type of emergencies would be coming from the bottom up. They'd be coming from staff, from directors, that something has happened and they need this to operate immediately. Those things that come from the elected officials down, I don't think should have any access to this account, because I think it lends itself to an abuse area and putting undue pressure on the staff to, you know, fork over some money. I think those should go through the emergency process to the board if they come from elected official. So I would offer that as an amendment that there be no restriction, that the accounting would come to this committee on a regular basis when we meet to go over invoices, and if we find within the board that there's abuse taking place from our viewpoint, or there's not an explanation of why they had to spend $500 or $250, and we don't buy into that, then we could control it or curtail it at that time. But I do believe that Yvette makes a good point, that at some point we have to start saying that the city of Opa-locka is being run by the manager and the finance director in this area. And so I would make that recommendation, that there not be a limitation, and that it only be for staff and access to this, and not for elected officials.
Frank, I'm glad you did that.
Frank, this is Melinda. I have a couple of questions. Are we talking about $1,000 per transaction, or just a pool of $1,000 total?
A pool of $1,000. They've got $1,000 to operate off. Typically, you.
Okay, is that
per month,
per year?
We have that, and we utilize off of that until we draw that down, and then we replenish it. We have $1,000, and we write another check for another $1,000.
No, in actuality, we have a process where once $1,000 will be spent, for example. We do present all the receipts and do a spreadsheet showing all the expenditures which were approved and paid out. Once that's done, we do present it to AP, and then we process another payment. Another one. Right. What we're just adding now is that you get we bring it to the contract committee before. Okay.
I'm not sure I understand. So there would be the ability of the finance director to, on a multiple times a day basis, authorize up to $1,000 if urgent. Is that what I'm understanding?
No, ma'am. There's going to be a finite amount of money, which is $1,000. It is that $1,000 that is the only amount that we have to work with respect to petty cash. On a monthly basis, or as often as the contracts committee would meet, you would present whatever has been extended from that amount, along with the corresponding receipts or what have you, to the contracts committee for approval. And only upon the approval would any money be reimbursed, or would the fund be, I guess, replenished.
Right.
So it's a finite amount of money. The $1,000 is $1,000. If for whatever reason we have, like we had a couple of weeks ago, an emergency with respect to gasoline, that is the only amount that we have that we could use without going through the current process that we have with respect to the board and getting an emergency expenditure request, et cetera.
So now under this new proposal, you would be able to pay for the gas purchases up to $1,000 for that weekend, and then after that $1,000 was spent, you wouldn't have any more for the remainder of the calendar year or the budget year? Is that what am I understanding?
No, ma'am. After that $1,000 was spent, we would present those receipts to the Contracts Review Committee,
okay.
And they would approve the expenditure. At that time, once the expenditure has been approved and it goes before the board for the same, we would then replenish the petty
Got
cash fund for whatever was expended.
Okay, I understand now. Okay, thank you.
Did you ask a question? So does the money, what happens if the Contracts Committee does not approve it?
Well, then we got a problem. In other words, obviously it has been spent, and if we don't agree that this was an emergency or we feel it was an abuse, then the board could take whatever action. I mean, we could curtail this and say you can't have a petty cash account anymore. But I can tell you from a municipal perspective, not being able to have access to get your hands on some money, I would much rather have them $1,000 cash with restrictions on it than giving them a credit card. So in this way, they've got $1,000. They cannot replenish it or whatever they use it for until it comes before this committee, and we approve how they spent the expenditure. So if they've spent $600 of it by the next time we meet, then if we approve those expenditures, they would replenish that $600 and try to keep that $1,000 to where they can utilize it. But one way or another, there has to be a way for, and I'm thinking, you know, just like they said $50, I think $50 is too low, but I can see $100, $250, things like that happen on a regular basis that something takes place and you've got to make that payment and you've got to get that product or that service. Something breaks down, an AC unit goes out. I mean, with the credit rating that they have, they're having a difficult time having people come to make a repair to something without paying up front, and going through that process to do that delays things that are of an emergent nature that have to be fixed. An AC unit going down and a guy comes out and it's going to cost them $275 to fix it. Well, you sit there for till we get hold of JD or get hold of Melinda and then get a check cut, and you go, if we're lucky, 2 or 3 days without air conditioning. So that's, I mean, I'm looking at emergencies coming. I don't look at fuel as an emergency. Why they had a fuel problem if they're not running blanket purchase orders, if they're not given an amount, they're not paying their bills with checks, that's a different issue. What I'm envisioning is these being used for emergencies. Something comes up that somebody hasn't anticipated, not an account that has been mismanaged or not controlled properly, and now we've run out of money, and now I got to start tapping into the petty cash because we didn't cut a purchase order. So, I mean, is that how you see that?
That is how I see it. Perhaps I can offer a bit of a solution to the concern. If we set an amount, let's say based on what Frank just said, 100, 250, what have you, if there's anything above that, it'll be a conversation or some type of communication with the board prior to our doing it or with someone from the board. So that way we can avoid the possibility of there being any confusion or any expenditures that weren't allowed or what have you. Maybe that's how we start until we get an understanding of what type of emergencies we'll be dealing with. And then at that point, maybe we can revise the procedure. So maybe at the beginning, we have that process, because I'm sensing some discomfort, and understandably so, but maybe if we do it that way initially, it'll perhaps be of, it'll ease some of the concerns.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, this is Melinda. I'm supportive of the concept of giving some flexibility for true urgent situations, because not, you know, when we do the emergency approvals, it's not always possible to get a hold of me or JD at a last minute to get an emergency approval. So I'm also supportive of the concept that Yvette just brought up, that $250 might be a good starting place. And then I think that we ought to be real clear of what's urgent, that it needs to be for city operations, you know, with justification, with supporting documentation in writing to the, you know, to attach to the every expenditure, and that it's not for things like
some of the commission activities, special activities, workshops, some of the more, social events with a public purpose, but more really for city operations. And I guess what I'm talking about is maybe like a cancer awareness event. You know, we wouldn't have an urgent situation for something like that, just as an example. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Chair.
All right, so then the motion would read that we establish the fund for $1,000. We set it at a... $250.
I'm sorry, yes, sir.
All right, now let me back up again. I'm not understanding. I thought we were saying it'd be a $1,000 pot that they could not expend in excess of $250 without coming to a member of the board to explain it and get permission from somebody.
Yes.
That's what the intent is?
I would support that.
Okay. And that it be for staff and administrative determined emergencies of an operational nature. And that I still want to put in there that it not be for the payment of any situation presented by an elected official. How about that?
You finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
This is Vernita, so moved.
JD, second.
All right, any further discussion on this one? Hearing none, I'll entertain a vote. All those in favor of the motion as stated, say aye.
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 Vote. All right, the motion passes. We have no further business coming before us here. If anybody has anything else, they can go state it or not. And a motion to adjourn.
I have one thing, Frank. Just so we don't take up the time in the 10 o'clock meeting. In reference to the James Smith invoices, I'll give you a chance to pull those out, that were not approved by the committee, I have a couple of questions about them. So the questions that I have is there's a V number on here. Is this a vendor that's already in the system?
Mr. Smith is a reserve officer. He, at one point, was the chief police here. He is now a reserve officer. I don't know if he's a vendor. I don't recall.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Ms. Parchman just confirmed he is a vendor in the system.
So he's a vendor in the system, and these are the kind of services that he provides as
No, the okay. services that you all have invoices for are prior to the board restricting or removing the vehicles from the commission in terms of their day-to-day usage, Mr. Smith would drive the mayor in a police vehicle. That vehicle is now being driven by our chief of police. The mayor's previous vehicle that she would drive, Mr. Smith, presumably, it's a discomfort. He says he's too large for that vehicle, so he can't drive her in that one. He's chosen then to drive her in his own vehicle. There's never been a conversation administration regarding that.
Okay. I see it also has a requisition number on it. So how far in the AP process has this gone?
I can say I've not approved it. I've not looked at it. So it's probably still sitting in the requisition for approval. And I also believe Ms. The city manager has not looked at it in the application system either. Let me address something in respect to him being a vendor. As an employee, there were times that you would travel out or get a per diem. And the, in order for you to be paid, you get a vendor number.
Is he still a reserve officer with the city of Opa-locka?
Yes, he is.
So that means that he's covered under insurance and can use pool cars?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me ask another question. This is Frank. If there's a requisition already in the system, who entered the requisition?
Right. Every department has the ability to enter their own requisition. So presumably it was done by the clerk. I honestly couldn't say. I know that my department, North Shore Maine, entered it, so I'm presuming because the clerk is the one who delivered the invoices to us, so I will presume that the clerk entered it into the system.
And the other thing I noticed is that he's charging tax to the city of Opa-locka on all three invoices.
We have the ability to reject it. Mm-hmm. So if it's not approved, we can go in and reject it and move it out of the system, if that's what their concern is. So once it's rejected by me, it automatically gets kicked out.
Well, if it's in the system right now, I think it should just stay like it is, that no action be taken on that requisition until something comes before the administration justifying whatever it is they've come up with. Yes. And then the administration present it to the committee for consideration for paying the bill. Right now, we're not going to consider it.
Okay, I'll meet with Mr. Smith and try to get some understanding as to, one, what this is in terms of, I guess, an agreement that doesn't exist, and then, two, how he came up with his numbers, and I'll present it back before the contract committee at the next meeting.
I think there ought to be something in writing to Mr. Smith that if he continues with this, he's at his own risk. There's no understanding that it's going to be retroactively paid or anything of that sort. He needs to be put on written notice that if he continues to provide this service, he does it at his own peril. There's no purchase order issued. There's no authorization approved.
Okay.
Any other items to come before the committee? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Renita, so moved.
JD, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Please stand. I guess we'll crank back at 10 o'clock. We want to take a break for now, and we'll, Melinda, Chair, will wait to hear from you.
All right, thank you, sir.
thank you for holding. We look forward to talking with you soon. Please hold the line. We'll be right back with you.
Thank you for holding. We sincerely appreciate your patience. Please stay on the line. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for waiting. Your patience is appreciated. Please hold the line. We'll be right back with you.
Holding. We appreciate your time and patience. Please stay on the line. We'll be back in just a moment. For holding. We look forward to talking with you soon. Please hold the line. We'll be right back with you.
thank you for holding. We sincerely appreciate your patience. Please stay on the line. We'll be back in a moment.
Is Opalaka on the line?
Gotcha.
I don't know what the music is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think one has a hole.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up and dial back in.
No, 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 it's not you. It's someone on our end that has us on hold. We're trying to figure out who they're
going to be. Oh, that's your... Okay, so I didn't know it was Opalaka.
No, it's us. We're trying to locate that individual and have them disconnect or pick up off hold or what have you.
Last meeting, Melinda. Thank you for waiting. Your patience is appreciated. Please hold the line. We'll be right back with you. Time and patience. Please stay on the line. We'll be back in just a moment.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, Opalaka hears you.
Opalaka's here. We're here.
Good morning. Okay, I want to remind everybody to put your phones on mute. Don't put us on hold because we get to hear the lovely music, which can be distracting. Periodically, we'll check our audio, and Yvette, if you lose your ability to hear us, feel free to call me. I'll be watching for your call from that area. So. I'm very sorry that I'm not there in person today. I had every intention of being there in person, so I apologize for not being there. I will hopefully be there at our next meeting. Want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome the members of the Financial Emergency Board. I want to welcome the commissioners for the great city of Opalaka. I want to welcome the city officials, the city employees, and members of the public. So. Appreciate the work of everybody and the cooperation that we're receiving from the city to help with this great city made up of great people. So, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Good morning. Melinda Miguel.
Present.
J.D. Patterson.
Present.
Kristen Weiss.
Present.
Kim Mills.
Present.
Andrew Collins.
Present.
Angela Kinect.
Present.
Frank Rollison.
Present.
Renita Nelson.
Present.
And Marie Walker.
Present.
Everybody. Awesome. Thank you. And Mr. Vice Chair, if you could help be my eyes and ears for the folks at the podium, because I can't see the podium when people approach and want or make eye contact with members of the commission. if they wish to comment. So I'll be looking to you to kind of be my eyes and ears and support.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll do my best. And I do have to leave at about 11:45, and I'll be back after that. Commissioner Riley is also present.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, I would also like to go ahead and kick off this meeting by recognizing Mr. Merrick Stierheim as Special Advisor to the Chair of the Financial Emergency Board. And I'd like to give you the floor, Merrick, for a couple of remarks.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Hello. You can't see that monitor. The mic came out of it.
Actually, I can.
Thank you, Lobo.
Instead of the chair, the microphone just discombobulated on me. I appreciate this because I have to leave, and I. Political forum, if you will, for the neighboring city of Miami Lakes. They've got 11 people running, 3 for mayor, 8 of them for 3 different commission seats, and I'll be asking them 20 questions today, which will be communicated on their cable TV. So I'm going to leave early. But I wanted to report that yesterday the city manager and I had a discussion, a friendly heated discussion, let's put it that way. and it had to do with the report, my second report to the board and to the city commission pertaining to public works and its need for supplies, materials, services, and so forth and so on. And I attached in my report, as you recall, a 4-page summary that had, I think it's 118 separate items of inventory that they felt they needed to carry out their functions. The manager felt that that list, which totaled at about 84,000, was excessive, and she asked the Public Works Director, Ari Austin, to tell her exactly what was needed, what was the emergency items. And I understand her rationale for doing that because of cash flow, and I know that Frank Rollison has been doing an outstanding job being very sensitive to the need for cash flow and what he recommends for disbursement. Because of the problem. Everybody is familiar with it. So I gave this some thought, and I have a recommendation which I think can resolve the issue. In my report, I explained that I went out there really to inspect the yard, meet with the staff, and become familiar with the needs of Public Works. The new director, who had only been on the job for 2 weeks, so he was brand new. Now, he was the assistant director, but he was not involved in the day-to-day operation of the facility. Rather, he was over capital improvements for Public Works. And so it was a bit of an orientation for him. I also met with the administrative assistant, Kathy Phillips, very sharp, very competent woman, and a division head whose name was King, and I don't have his last name, but four of us sat there, and I asked them, I said, what are your problems? What do you need? What are you grappling with, and so forth and so on? And they all chimed in at one time, really, and said they needed supplies, and they needed services, they needed equipment, because the inventory, et cetera, of those not just physical, tangible pipes and toilet paper and everything else that they use in their maintenance operations was in scarce supply. So I asked Kathy if she could prepare a list for me of those items that they needed, and that was where the four-page report that I attached on the 16th. My meeting out there, I think, was on the 12th. Kathy sent me that list on the 13th, the next day, in the afternoon. And then at 7:34 the next morning, I sent an email, I have a copy of here, to the city manager, to Frank Rollison, and to Melinda Miguel, and to David Morris, attaching the list. And then I decided, because it was late in the day, I added it to my report. And I explained how it came about. So I have a recommendation that I think will resolve the issue, and I hope the city manager agrees. That is, because the new director, who I want to compliment, I might add, on your appointment, Madam Manager, I think you really picked a very solid person. I'm impressed with Harry Austin. I think he's very dedicated, and he's going to do a real job for the citizens of this city. But he is obviously new. So why don't we establish a base? This would be the intelligent way to go about reviewing exactly what the department needs. The, as you told me, and as Charmaine told me, the problem they had in the past is when requisitions were awarded and supplies came in, unfortunately, they went missing, some of them. And that the department had a reputation for supplies disappearing. They didn't have an inventory control system. That's obviously what's needed. There are lockable storage areas, fenced off, secure, that can be used to store inventory. And what I would recommend is, rather than reversing this process from the top down, start from the bottom up. Do an inventory of what they have right now. Every division. How many couplings, how many pipes, so forth and so on. I had a problem with your 15,000, I don't mind telling you, because if you look on my list of four items, there are six or seven emergencies. They're identified as emergency on this list. And they total about $32,000 in round numbers. One of them had 13 invoices. General asked for, asked due. On page two.
So you're talking about the invoices, not materials or supplies that they talked about in it. I just want to be clear what you're, because I don't have it, so I'm looking for what
I understand. We just have, someone says, and it's an emergency. To me, that's pretty serious. And unless I'm being misinformed, if they have an emergency, then they need the service, they need the supply. I'm not going into a lot of detail here. They told me that the battery company, for example, came on the grounds and took batteries. Came on the public works grounds, took them back because they hadn't been paid. Xerox refused to come out and service the Xerox machine because they hadn't been paid. Avante hadn't been paid and refused to supply water meters. So, I mean, it is what it is. And if you start with an inventory of what they have, then we can add to that whatever is approved by Frank and the board and the manager to purchase. You begin building a base of intelligence to, number one, discourage any pilfering. Know what you have at hand, and to avoid crises where you don't have a supply and you need it. They can't go out with nine different eight or nine different divisions in that department, ranging from building maintenance to street maintenance, potholes, cutting the grass, janitorial services, all listed, and each of them have their items that they need. They told me they didn't have enough oil for two oil changes. That was a month ago. I don't think they've gotten the oil yet. I think it may be on the agenda today. I'm not sure. Got to change the oil in these vehicles, and that's just routine maintenance. That's my recommendation, that number one, the department do an inventory of everything that it has. And then, Madam Manager, you'll know exactly what they have in inventory. You have a base on which to do future inventory control. You'll have a base on which to evaluate what they need, what they actually need, in realistic terms. And I think that's an intelligent way to resolve this issue. So make that recommendation. And I, with that, I don't have anything else to report.
Thank you, Merritt. All right, we lost our ability to hear. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you, Merritt. Really appreciate your comments. And I do support his recommendation to do a complete inventory. Madam City Manager, if you would direct Mr. Austin to begin that endeavor so that we have a baseline, as Merritt suggests, of a starting point, that will enable us to better prioritize, better account for the assets. So I appreciate your recommendation, Merritt. So moving on, we'd like to review the minutes, and we are actually running a little behind on the minutes. We're going to take up on tab, I believe it's four, might be three of the former agenda, but we are going to take up the approval of the minutes from the August the 30th full contract review committee. I have a couple of edits or amendments. First off, on page middle of the page, there's an opportunity for us to be consistent with the use of last names and not first names. There's two there on that page. There's also one at the bottom of page five where we refer to Merritt and not Mr. Stierheim, so there's some consistency issues. But the most significant one, two that I have, are on page six. One is bullet number three. And towards the end of the sentence, I believe the word were is supposed to be where money is coming in. And then bullet number nine, where the word says we will have to possibly do layoffs. I think the word possible needs to be possibly do layoffs. And I'd also like to entertain any other edits by any member of the board.
I have one.
Okay.
On page two,
okay.
Is the discussion about the minutes we're voting.
We can hardly hear who's talking.
I'm sorry, this is Marie Walker. On page two, and it's 6 paragraphs down where it says Ms. Nelson abstained from voting because she was not in attendance. I don't think she can abstain if she's not there.
Good point. Okay, so Ms. Nelson was not in attendance at the time of the vote was taken is probably sufficient?
In this situation, I was not at the July 28th meeting, so I did not vote on those minutes.
Gotcha. So you abstained from the vote because you were not in attendance, not abstaining because you weren't in attendance at the time. Got it. Okay, so it is. Thank you. I think I understand. So does it not require an edit then?
So I was not in attendance, not at the time of the vote, but I was not in attendance at the meeting.
Okay, gotcha. So you were not in attendance at the July 28th meeting, right?
Correct.
All right. So we'll add maybe not in attendance at the July 28th meeting.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, any other edits? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the August 30th minutes?
This is Kim, so moved.
I have Marie Walker making the first motion and Kim Mills seconding. All in
second.
Favor?
Aye.
Any
aye.
Okay, motion carries. All right. Next tab. If we could go ahead and get an update from the city manager. We've got a couple of items here. We're going to go through. We'll be providing an update on some of the resolutions, and we're not going to take a vote on those resolutions as she discusses them at this point. We'll be taking up some approvals for some of the resolutions at the next agenda item. So this is for us to get the context from the city manager. So, Yvette, if you could take us through kind of and provide us an update on the budget hearings and the commission meetings and any intentions for follow-up meetings in the near future.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. I'll just go down the list. As for the September 30th, commission meeting, there were only two items. One, to extend, to allow us to continue to operate under our budget for the next 15 days, and another resolution to reject all of the bids from the RFP regarding the waste hauler. The resolution to extend was passed, I believe, unanimously, and there was with respect to the resolution regarding rejecting all bids, that failed. It did not fail. Commissioner Riley withdrew the resolution, so it wasn't voted on. There is a meeting scheduled as soon as this meeting concludes for us to extend for another 15 days, and that meeting will, I believe, hopefully be somewhere around 5 or shortly thereafter. With respect to City of Opa-locka's second budget hearing, we adopted the 10 mills. We adopted both of the approved and adopted both of the budgets. The budgets for general fund as well as the enterprise fund. However, we will need to have, because of procedural missteps, we will need to have yet two other budget hearings in order to adopt the budget that we will be presenting to the state for the governor's review. Those meetings are scheduled for October 27th and November 10th. Tentatively. I don't know if we've actually noticed them yet. We have not. Okay. The City of Opa-locka Planning Council did meet on October 4th. Both of the items that were before the council passed. At our last commission meeting on October 12th, all of the resolutions passed. Pardon me. All of the resolutions passed. There was a hearing on a planning and zoning issue that was met with approval from the commission. The first reading ordinance regarding the city manager's purchasing authority was deferred. The second reading ordinance, number one, passed. Number two, in terms of the second reading ordinance, was deferred until November 9th. And if you look on the agenda, resolution C1 was not read because all of the issues that would have been discussed and or voted on were taken care of under the hearing that was under the planning and zoning portion of the meeting. With respect to the labor negotiations, I forwarded, and I apologize if everyone doesn't have it, I forwarded to the board Mr. Brown's report or update, if you will. Basically, based on what I understand, we as in the city have met what we believe to be the statutory requirements with respect to identifying that we are in a financial emergency and with respect to giving the 14-day period for there to be discussions regarding the changes or the revisions we'd like to make to the collective bargaining agreements. The 14-day period has expired, and so based on communication with Mr. Brown, it is his opinion that the city may unilaterally revise some of the terms of either one of the either one or both of the collecting bargaining agreements. There is some question, however, as to whether or not there needs to be another notice sent that specifically references the word urgency under the statute. According to Mr. Brown, the word emergency that was used in, well, let me explain. In the statutes refer to both a financial emergency and a financial urgency, the latter of which not being as, I guess, substantial as the former. So the thought, according to Mr. Brown, is that because we declared a financial emergency, that was sufficient to meet the requirements of the statute regarding the labor contracts. To that end, that has been his opinion, and based on that, and I guess we'd have to get Jack to give us his opinion as well, but based on that, the city is in the position and is postured to actually start revising those agreements unilaterally. And I guess that would be something that we can discuss at some portion in the meeting. With respect to the correspondence from Miami-Dade County,
One moment, Yvette, I'm sorry, this is Heather. Can you send the letter that Vince sent to the union? Do you have that?
I sent it to Joy in the print.
I've done that.
Okay.
Patty.
All right. Thank you.
Actually, there was a letter sent to both AFSCME and PBA, and both of those were sent to Patty yesterday. Did you get it, Patty?
I did. I'm having them printed right now.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions on that item?
Well, there might be, okay. Depending on the letter. We can come back.
Okay. Well, I'll continue until you get the letter and get a chance to review it. The next is the correspondence from Miami-Dade County, dated 9/26. I have forwarded the correspondence to Mr. Brown. What was asked for was a legal opinion regarding the use of water and sewer funds, and they also, of course, want the budget and the related resolutions, both of which are forthcoming. And so as soon as those are ready, I will be forwarding those as well to the county. The enactment of the whistleblower policy, I spoke with Vince, and he's advised me that let me just read what he wrote. It's on for second reading. It's on the agenda for the second reading on 10/26/2016, which is our next commission meeting. With respect to the bid protest, and I'm reading what Vince wrote, the bid protest was placed on hold to allow the city the option to explore to have the county to service the solid waste needs. That option is actually, in my opinion, no longer viable, and I guess at some point we'll discuss that as well, which probably means that the bid protest will continue and will need to be rescheduled at some point in the near future. The status of the CRA meeting, that is being rescheduled. The issue has previously been that there's challenges with respect to getting a quorum, which is the reason that the last meeting could not take place. The vice president is currently working on rescheduling that meeting, and I believe the plan for scheduling that meeting is to have the meeting the latter part of next week or the very next week thereafter. Status of the resolution to pursue an agreement with Miami-Dade County. We are actually still in the preliminary stages with respect to an interlocal agreement with the county. We had a meeting with Deputy Mayor Marquez in which he was in agreement and seemed to be agreement with us that we should indeed have the county to provide the water and sewer collection billing services. There are several challenges that we have with that, but the county has been working with us diligently in order to get us to a place where the transition to the county providing those services will be as seamless as possible. There have been, and I'm sure you all are aware, concerns about water bills, which are substantially higher now than they were before. We are working through those to determine, one, the accuracy of the information, and two, what procedure we will adopt in order to transition customers from what was previously estimated bills to what is actually now being read meters. With respect to the bridge loan from Miami-Dade County, that was a part of the meeting that we had with Deputy Mayor Marquez. The reception was positive. However, it was identified that there were several challenges to providing a bridge loan. Namely, any loan that the county provides to any municipality has to be for the benefit of every municipality in the county. And so what that means is we would not be able to get a loan, for example, for anything specific to Opa-locka. One of the options that was identified in the meeting was that perhaps they would be able to give us a loan with respect to our police department, in that crime knows no boundaries. You could effectively say that providing money to the police department would then essentially be a benefit to all the cities, all of the municipalities in Miami-Dade County. Additionally, Merritt was at that meeting along with the mayor, Mayor Taylor, Charlotte Charmaine Parchment, Vince Brown, and myself from the city of Opa-locka, and then David Ritchie and several other members of the staff of the county. And one of the things that was suggested and agreed to also by Commissioner Jordan, who was also present, was that we need to professionalize our HR department, and primarily our HR department and our finance department. To that end, I was asked to provide the county, particularly Deputy Mayor Marquez, with a list of all of the needed positions within our finance department and corresponding salaries. There is some question and discussion about what salaries would be, what salaries we should use for those positions, and I have been working with members of the county and I've also reached out to neighboring municipalities and similarly situated municipalities to find out what they're paying their people so that we can be in line with those numbers. I anticipate having that information to the county by Monday or Tuesday of next week. With respect to a bridge loan specifically, it's a possibility. However, the amount of that actual loan is what is currently being discussed. The terms of the loan, including Commissioner Jordan, remarked that the loan that we would receive should actually take on terms similar to a mortgage, whereby there is either a 20 or 30-year repayment plan, as opposed to what was previously suggested, which would be that we would pay it back within 5 years. That didn't necessarily meet with much opposition, but again, there's a question as to what the loan would be purposed for and whether or not there's going to be, quite frankly, any ability for the county to provide us this loan. There's also, of course, funds owed to the county in excess, I believe at this point, of $4 million. It was suggested that $4 million would be wrapped up into whatever loan would be provided to the city, and that repayment plan would follow whatever payment schedule that loan would adopt. The status of recommendation that the commission reconsider the rejection of resolution. This recommendation was actually memorialized into a resolution and brought before the commission, as I discussed previously. However, I have since changed my recommendation as to who the waste hauler should be in the city. After discussions with members of the county, primarily David Ritchie and David Morris, as well as some discussion with Merritt, I've come to understand that the waste hauler UWS would actually be the choice in order to receive the most revenue for the city. In addition to there being some issues with other waste haulers not wanting residential service and not being able to, frankly, provide the services that we need on the schedule that we currently have it, I'm actually deciding, or I've actually recommended now that UWS continue to be our waste hauler. We're currently in communication with them to figure out what actually is owed or not owed to us or from us regarding our current agreement. As far as the county option is concerned, there's several reasons as to why I don't think that that would be the best idea, including the fact that the county schedule, for example, for bulk pickup would require that our residents only have two bulk pickups annually as opposed to four. Now, I understand that that may seem to be something that is insignificant to many of you, but to our residents, it is a very significant portion of what happens with respect to our waste hauler. And for various other reasons, I've now changed my recommendation to that of UWS being our waste hauler, and I will present that to the commission at the next commission meeting. With respect to the resolution to extend, of course, I just explained that we did that already with respect to the need to have additional time to operate under our current budget. Again, we have a meeting scheduled as soon as this meeting has concluded or at 5 o'clock or soon thereafter to extend for another 15 days, and we will continue to do so until we have presented and been approved, until the new budget has been presented and approved to the board and to the governor.
When does resolution 9252 expire? The 15 days on that expire?
Tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, so when is the emergency here, the emergency commission meeting to extend that one going to be scheduled for?
It's today at 5 o'clock or as soon as this meeting is over. Okay. The status on the monthly report on all delinquent water and sewer accounts, that report is being generated to include all of the September delinquencies and will be forwarded to the board either today or early next week. The status of the letter from Miami-Dade County. Okay, I spoke with Ethics, and I received an opinion regarding my ability to continue to operate my firm. I have an opinion from Ethics. However, the reason that I have not presented it to the board is because I need to first present it to the commission per the recommendation at our last meeting, along with some language revisions to the previous resolution. And once that will be done on the 26th meeting, once that resolution has been passed before the commission, I will bring that resolution as well as the documentation to the board formally so that you all can review and or approve. Audit committee information. I spoke with Ms. Patty Nelson yesterday regarding the audit committee. I understand that we would like to do something a little different than we've previously done in terms of establishing the audit committee, and Patty's going to provide me with that information so that we can put that committee together. The financial integrity ordinance, this actually is something that I have a question about by way of Mr. Brown. My understanding is that the last financial integrity ordinance that is on the books has not been repealed. And it didn't have a sunset provision or anything like that. So as far as Vince is concerned, the ordinance is still active and in place. So the question that he had was he didn't know what to do in terms of a financial integrity ordinance since one already existed and was still effective. And I guess you guys can chime in on that at some point. With respect to the documentation from FEMA, as we discussed last meeting, FEMA sent an email to us regarding information that they needed. Mr. Austin, our public works director, responded, and he was advised that they, as in FEMA, would advise if they need any additional information. To date, I don't believe there's been any other communication with FEMA with respect to that. The amount due on the city credit cards, Ms. Parchman just advised me that we are updating that information based on the new bills that we have just received. I'm sorry. Okay. Based on the new bills that we've just received that include the late fees. The last approximation, I believe, was $29,000, and there's $29 per month in late fees per card. And I believe that's it, unless anyone has any questions.
Okay. I do have a couple questions, and I imagine my board members do as well. Maybe I should work backwards so that I'll take the most current first. When do you expect to have the amount due on the city credit card account?
Charmaine advises me that early next week.
Early next week, okay. Very good. Can you give me an update on the status of the five-year plan as well?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually working on the five-year plan. I've pretty much drafted a skeleton of it, if you will. My intention is to provide it to David Morris next week so that he can look at what I've, well, two things. As of the date prior to meeting with the county, the five-year plan included the monies owed to the county. Based on recommendations, however, from Commissioner Jordan, there's going to have to be an alternative that's incorporated into the five-year plan that would assume the recommendation of Commissioner Jordan that instead of it being a five-year repayment, it would be something substantially longer. My intention is to provide to David next week, probably the middle of the week, if not the latter, so that he can start reviewing it and, quite frankly, adding the financial information that's needed, including the schedule of repayment based on the information that we have. One of the challenges that I've had, of course, is that the number purportedly that we owe to vendors changes substantially consistently. And so I'm not quite certain what number we should be using, but I think I'll err on the side of caution and use the 3.7 amount, although I am positive that that amount is not accurate. But until we are able to determine exactly what we owe to vendors, I think that might be a good base in terms of the five-year plan. So David asked that as soon as I give him the plan, he'll start working on that, and then we'll be able to, I guess, be in a better position to let you know what the schedule is for presenting that, understanding that whatever we present initially is truly going to be just an initial draft and based solely on the information that we have as of that moment. It is going to be what we used to say in law school, a living, breathing document, and it will probably be subject to change often until the final version is completed.
Completely understood, and it obviously will need to reflect any new budget information that may be included as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe I can answer your question or Vince's question about the financial integrity ordinance. I was thinking that it needed to be updated for maybe some current practices since it's an older document. We agree that it still is in force, but we found that there's some things that are not being adhered to as closely as we'd like. So I think having a chance to go through that review process will be helpful to remind the folks in the city about the critical principles that need to be applied and then make any enhancements that are required. But I think the one that you have is a good starting point.
Okay.
Let's see, I had another couple of questions, and I definitely want to get the group feedback. What is the status on the grant for the bus route? That, I believe, is a county grant.
Hold on a moment. I'll let Charmaine respond to that.
Okay.
We're still working with the county. Is that better for everyone? Am I shouting?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay. We're still working with the county to provide them with the information they needed to complete the audit. And we have rescheduled our meeting with Ms. Kathy Jackson in order to move forward with the CITT funding. Right now, we have not received funding for the south route. We're still receiving the funding for the north route. And we're talking to them about incorporating both routes and making it one route as opposed to having two routes. So that is still in the works. And we, as soon as we complete the audit, we'll be able to give you more information.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Have you actually had to dip into the water sewer reserves or the operating fund reserves at this particular date?
Could you repeat that?
Have you actually had to dip into the water and sewer reserves and or the operating fund reserves that was authorized by the commission, I don't know, maybe a month, 6 weeks ago?
As of today, we have not go into those reserves. They're still okay. The same amount.
Okay. Okay, the reason I was asking was because of the 30-day repayment requirement that if you had, I just wanted to make sure we were tracking that. So thank
yes,
you.
Yes, we have not used it.
Okay.
Not
okay. How about the progress on the accounts payable listing?
We have been trying to complete the accounts payable listing, but we have had too many audits. So we are actually trying to complete the FRS audit right now and provide them with documentation. So each time we have staff interrupted, it needs to get back to that. And so right now we have not completed that particular function.
Okay.
Can't give any dates on that. I'm not able to give an actual date right now due to what we have that is needed for next week.
Okay.
So it's a work in progress.
Okay. What about the status of filling up the three police department positions that we voted on two meetings ago that J.D. Patterson brought forward? Have we been able to fill those three police department positions?
There is one position that was actually filled. Well, okay, the answer to your question is no, not in totality. One of the position changes that the chief made, eliminating one of the positions, we were able to reclassify that employee and place her into one of those positions. So instead of three, I believe there are two. So now two officer positions that have been, I believe they have been already posted. And I know that in speaking with Chief, there is a need, frankly, for yet another position that he's going to talk to Chief Patterson about filling. But two of the three positions have been filled internally, thankfully, and then the other two, he's been diligently going to the colleges and trying to get individuals to come in to fill those as well.
Okay. What's the status on the off-duty pay for the police? Folks, I know that there was some question about whether or not that those checks had actually been dispersed for off-duty pay.
The previous off-duty payments have been made. There are additional off-duty payments that appeared on the, or that will appear on the general fund list that you all have in front of you in terms of the approvals that are being requested today.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are we doing a better job of invoicing, getting the approval, and then remitting payment so that the lists between what's actually going out the door and what Frank sees are consistent?
I'd have to ask Frank, who's looking at me rather interestingly.
No.
Okay.
No, I think we're catching up, but we have some that we discussed yesterday in some of the payments that have been previously approved. And then as Patty has noted, the amounts are not issued for the amount that we've approved. And there was some explanation of that yesterday. We talked about that some of the invoices have not been inputted. Even though they had the total amount and they get the total amount approved, the invoice isn't in the system. There's various reasons why this happens. And I think what Charmaine told me yesterday is it's still not reconciled for us to go over it yet. Is that correct?
That is correct. I haven't had the opportunity to reconcile the different payments.
So what happens is, like today, when we approve this list of that the committee approved and comes to the board, and the board theoretically approves them, it doesn't necessarily mean that those checks are going to be cut in that amount of money. Is that also correct?
We're not picking and choosing what gets paid. What
right.
It is what's in the system that's already been approved. Once AP processes it, they can only pay what's in the system. Now, if once it comes to me and I realize there's something missing, that's when I make a request to the department to go in and update, and by putting the other invoices in so we can cut another check to pay that amount. So that's part of what I'm trying to do, where I show you that these two payments equal what you approve.
Understand. So then when Patty, you get the statements from the bank, it doesn't necessarily jive with what was approved at these meetings.
Correct, but I have not done that reconciliation for a while.
I assure you, if you do, you're going to find some of the same conditions because of what Charmaine is explaining now. So the thought that you've got here's one for Ford credit for $8,218.64 for the street sweeper. If that is an individual invoice, it may very well be in and be able to be cut and be paid. But if it's a combination of invoices, some of them may be in and some of them may not be in.
That's correct.
Okay. But when the invoices get inputted, they then have the authorization to cut the check. So what we're giving them here now is the authorization to cut the checks in these amount of monies, but all the invoices that add up to this may not be in the system at this time.
Okay. Are there other questions of the board on Yvette's update?
Ms. McGill?
Yes, ma'am.
I do have one request regarding our current personnel issues. As it stands now, we have basically two individuals in our HR department. As I said in my report earlier, we definitely have a need for professionalization and, quite frankly, increase in terms of employees in our HR department. But to that end, the HR department is currently on a 32-hour work week. They have four audits that they are conducting, all dealing with, of course, HR issues, and two, I believe, being with two dealing with Obamacare that, of course, are required federally, and there are two that are basically in the course of everyday functions. The 32-hour work week is problematic, of course, and so what I'm asking is that I have the authority to lift the 32-hour work week for HR, if not, maybe just, I mean, not necessarily indefinitely, but maybe throughout the next month so that they can finalize these audits and hopefully prevent us from getting into any penalty phase or within the response time. Also, I just wanted to add, I don't know if you all saw it in the documentation that I provided, but I do have two suggestions with respect to my directors. I'm having a difficult time with day-to-day functions with my directors having furlough days. I have an issue with the fact that directors even have furlough days, but that's neither here nor there. I'm bringing it before the commission next commission meeting to relieve my directors of furlough days so that they can be here every day. And then also I'm bringing it before the commission to have one day be designated as the furlough day for the city, as opposed to there being multiple days. I'm finding that the furlough days, although helpful in terms of the budget, they're very disruptive with respect to the operations of the city, and it's causing an operational challenge for me that probably wouldn't exist if there was more of a consistency among the employees. That's just an FYI.
That I fully appreciate where you're coming from, and I would be very supportive of the return of those directors in mission-critical positions that are particularly undergoing extra work due to either the Financial Emergency Board, the state of financial emergency, the amount of attention either on CITT or the FRS or some of the other audits that are underway. So it seems completely reasonable that you would recommend that. And after you bring it to the commission, it'll come back to us since it has a fiscal impact. But I would be supportive in concept just hearing your report.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. We'll move on for now. There's a couple of issues that we'll need to take up into the next set of agenda items to address that actually come up in this next agenda. But thank you, Yvette and Charmaine, for your update. And also thank you for sharing the information about your outside employment. We'll be looking for that once it is presented officially to the commission. We'll be looking to that as well. And I'm sure there'll be some more questions as we move forward on some of these resolutions, but thank you for your report.
Madam Chair, this is Frank. Can I ask a question about the furlough days for just a second on the directors?
Sure. Absolutely.
The directors are salaried, is that correct?
Yes, but they still receive a 20% reduction in their salaries as a result of the furlough days.
Right, but so in other words, when a director takes off a day, you reduce his salary 20%.
Yes, sir.
But why not just reduce his salary 20% and come to work every day?
Because I don't think that's fair.
Well, I mean, they
I mean, with
they
all due respect, the directors are already not paid on a market wage anyway. And so to further, I brought before the commission before that directors should be excluded. And previously, because of different circumstances, excluded from the 32-hour work week. Primarily, yes, because they're directors, but also because they're typically the ones who have the most knowledge with respect to their department.
I understand.
And so that's not what I'm suggesting, because when we actually restored other individuals to their 40 hours, they went back to their 40-hour pay as well.
I understand that, but so if a director goes back to a 5-day week, they take no cut in pay is what you're telling me.
They would take no cut in pay because they would be taking no cut in their work.
Oh, I understand.
The answer to your question is yes. They would be restored back to the – well, when you say 40 hours, it's laughable because my directors work more than that now.
That's why they're salaried. They work with what's required to do the job.
Agreed. I'm asking for the directors to return to 40 hours, and in conjunction with that, as we have other individuals that we've restored, I'd like them to be restored to their 40-hour pay as well, keeping in mind that the budget that we presented assumes 40 hours for everyone. And so technically it's already budgeted anyway for that to happen.
But weren't some of the other employees had a cut in pay plus furlough days?
No, sir. It's one and the same. It's a cut in pay
so that's
because
how
of the furlough day.
So that's how the cut in pay is a furlough day?
Yes, sir. It
so
wasn't a 20%.
So if people go back to a 40-hour week, there's no cut in pay?
Correct, if that were to happen or when that happens.
Okay, I understand. I don't agree with – I don't see what it accomplishes. If we just stayed at 40 hours for everybody, nobody takes a cut in pay, and nobody gets a furlough day, we're right back where we were from the beginning.
Frank, I'm asking for three individuals. I don't know how you generalize that to nobody when I have well over 100 members of the staff, so I'm not sure.
Look, this is not an adversarial relationship. I'm trying to understand what the process is to save some money or make some cuts. I was of the impression that there were cuts in pay, and then there were furlough days. But what you're saying to me is that there are the cuts in pay were done by giving somebody a furlough day, and when you put that person back to 40 hours, there is no cut in pay whatsoever. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So how are we saving? What I don't understand.
Perhaps I'm not clear. Based on the work that's being done and that's needed, that is probably 5 or 10 times as much as it would have been on a normal basis, I asked for several members of the staff to be restored back to 40 hours.
Understood.
In conjunction with that restoration came their restoration of their salaries as well. I'm asking for these three individuals to be provided the same as has been provided before, which is a restoration of their 40 hours plus the restoration of their salary. If for whatever reason the board decides differently, then that's something we'll take up separately. But as far as what I'm asking for, it's the same as we've done previously when we recognize that the need for the personnel to do more basically superseded what we would have thought would have been any benefit, because in actuality, if you perform a cost-benefit analysis, true enough, we're saving money purportedly because they're not here, but then it takes longer to do things. We're then penalized because sometimes we miss deadlines, and quite frankly, it turns out to be a lot of times more to our detriment that they had the furlough than to our benefit.
I understand, but from my position, if there's going to be any savings, cut the pay and they come to work every day. That's part of the pain. That's part of what has to happen here is that there's reductions. You're now talking about going into the union contracts, which you theoretically are now going to be allowed to do, that we talked about now for several months, and making, I assume, some type of financial cuts because that's where the savings are going to be. And then we talk about staff or those that are not within the union. And I understand you need them here. And the way to address that situation is that they are here 5 days a week and you cut the pay. If we put everybody back where they were, I just don't see where the savings are whatsoever. That's just my observation.
I understand.
Frank, when you were going through this in your city, how did you handle your furlough days, and how did you handle your directors in North Bay Village?
It was in the city of Miami. And
I'm sorry.
Everybody came to work. Everybody took a cut. And as Yvette says, we worked more than 40 hours. But, I mean, my assistant is sitting right beside me right now. Evelyn was in a different boat. She took a $25,000 a year cut, and she got how many furlough days did she get? 6 furlough days plus 6 furlough days. That's what it took to – it was either cut more, 30%, or you take furlough days and so forth. And I can understand how people need people here to do the job, but they're salaried people. You cut their salary. I mean, it's not put them back to me. I don't see what we've accomplished by putting them back and say, well, they're back to a 40-hour week. They got their full pay. Where is the savings? There's no savings.
Madam Chair, this is Bernita.
Yes, ma'am.
The City of Miami Gardens, through the economic downturn, took some furlough days or initiated a furlough plan. Salaries were not adjusted, but there was a scale of higher paid executives taking more furlough days than those who work in the field and other respective jobs. So we had a goal of how much money we wanted to save through this furlough process. Once we met that goal, everybody came back on to their regular salaries at the 40 hours. So the savings were through those furlough days, just as if you have a position that's in the budget and it has been approved in the budget at $80,000 for the year, but you don't bring that person on until January, you realize that savings between October and January. Same concept.
Yeah, there are many ways of achieve savings, but I think sometimes it becomes counterproductive when you talk about it the way we're looking at it here. So I do think that the whole furlough days as well as the salary issue and the cuts related to it have to be made to achieve savings. If you don't do that, then, of course, you wind up back where you started. And I understand where Frank is coming from. You can't always go back where you started when you're in a crisis like this. So, it's going to require some sacrifice on everybody's part.
I would like to
come back at the next meeting with some recommendations. I'm going to reach out to the Department of Management Services with Patty Nelson's support, and Yvette, we'll follow up with you and have a conversation so that we can look at this. We'll look at including Jay Flynn with this and Kiara Ward in this discussion. I know that the commission, you know, is very interested in helping the employees to the extent that we're able to keep them, you know, the morale higher, and maybe there's some best practices that we can come back and suggest to address this issue for you. But in collaboration with the city, we'll come back at the next meeting and offer some suggestions.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Riley is close to Mike and would like to say something. I want to make you aware that I think Mayor Taylor is here and Commissioner Kelly, as well as Commissioner Santiago, was here a minute ago. Oh, he's still here. So Commissioner Riley wants to say something. He's at the mic.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner.
Okay. Now, the original furlough days was based on getting to the new budget year. Okay? In our new budget, we got 40 hours. Right now, we have 32 hours. Corrections are needed because we are working on last year's budget. Now, in November or later this month, when we approve the new budget, there would be no need. So there has been a saving thus far. We're not going back to where we were, but operational under what we're doing right now, we're on a 32-hour work week until the new budget is approved. So temporarily, while we're under that last year's budget, until the new budget is passed, we need, if the directors come back, they come back at the 40 hours. That's the adjustment that is being done temporarily until we pass in the budget. That's not so we're not back going back to where we were. All right? Thank you.
Well, Commissioner, that begs one more question then. And I have reviewed the new budget a little bit, or the proposed budget. But the question then is, when we go to the new budget, have all of these directors taken a cut in pay?
We got, that was you had a 25% reduction across the board
in the new budget.
In the new budget, and some exceeded that.
No.
To answer your question, Frank, is no. The directors did not take a cut in pay, but there was 25% or more cuts in the budget in every department across the board. So we achieved the goal without cutting what is already, quite frankly, under market rate for the directors anyway. So we were able to achieve a savings without further cutting directors' pay.
But we are now looking to go into the union contracts and make cuts.
Not for
there.
Pay, for benefits. I don't plan to touch. I mean, with all due respect, Frank, if I took, for example, if I use your example and I took $25,000 worth of, from my workers, most of them wouldn't have any money, because that's where I am kind of with my staff. So I'm trying to get to benefits. I'm not, I mean, the fluffy stuff, not the stuff that people pay their bills with.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Kelly, you would like to say something as well.
Good morning. Good morning, Commissioner Kelly.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and to the board. I really would hope that we wouldn't get in these discussions before the commission would. To me, this should have come to the commission before it came to you all. I don't like hearing stuff, even with the waste hauler, coming to you before it comes to us. An issue such as this with employees, directors, furloughs, et cetera, should have come to us. And then based on our recommendation, we thought it would come to you. I think we're putting it ahead of where it ought to be. I'm for, obviously, the budget has been passed for 40 hours for everybody. I've always been for, if everybody's going to take the hit, everybody takes the hit. We come off the hit, everybody's the same. But the discussion should take place with the commission before you all weigh in. That's just my opinion. And to do that is premature until we hear it as a body and make a decision, and then it comes to you for weighing. I think that's the way it ought to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just so we all understand, sometimes what happens is different perspectives come up in meetings like this, because Frank's perception of salaried employees is basically pretty standard in other places. And I think how it's being employed here is a little bit different, because when we were in financial crisis in the county, exactly what Frank said happened, where all the higher-ups just had their salaries cut unilaterally by the leader, and they still had to come to work 40 hours a week. I understand about the fairness issue from the manager's perspective as well, but that's just the benefit of having a conversation like this. It's not to give direction, it's just to let you know that there are different perspectives and different practices that are out there. So if the city does, in fact, had never heard of that, now hears of it. So it could have happened both ways anyway. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
What did he say? Okay. I think I heard you say back to me. So thank you for your comments. And I believe that we're ready to take up our next agenda item, or items, I should say. Which is really fine. Okay. The next items that we need to take up is the discussion of the City Commission resolutions and ordinances. And I believe that we have a series of ordinances that are put before us for either knowledge, information, or for action. Some have a fiscal impact and some do not, and then some may have the question of whether or not they have a fiscal impact. So the first one that I have is resolution number 169251. And it is ratifying the agreements between the City of Opa-locka and E.R. Brown Enterprises effective March the 30th. And I believe that the last contract review committee passed this or recommended this for acceptance. Is that correct, Frank?
That is correct.
So do I have a motion to accept the resolution of 169251 for paying Mr. Brown?
This is Vernita. So moved.
Do we have a second?
Stacy, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Okay. The next item.
Excuse me. This is Frank. Could you show me as abstaining on that vote, please?
Yes, sir. Madam Secretary, make sure that you show that Frank Rollison is abstaining from vote on that. Okay, resolution number 169252. This is the extension of the 15-day spending authority as authorized by the commission. Do I have a motion to accept?
So moved. This is Kim.
Do I have a second?
Second.
And by Marie Walker. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Okay, there are a couple of other resolutions to take up at this particular time. I don't have them in a particular order, so I do apologize. There is, let's see, resolution 9256. This is the establishment of a resolution for approval to amend the development agreement to construct and operate a mixed-use travel center. I don't have any context or information on this, so Madam City Manager, would you explain the resolution?
I was working with staff on an issue. I apologize. What resolution am I explaining?
I apologize. It's resolution number 16-9256, and it's the approval to amend the development agreement to construct and operate a mixed-use travel center, and it was from the meeting this week on the 12th of the full commission. I just wanted to, this was first I was exposed to a mixed-use travel center, and I was just looking for a brief explanation, if you don't mind.
Yes, ma'am. It had previously been approved by the commission. What the developer was asking for was for there to be an extension of the time to begin construction and then to end construction. Apparently, there were some issues with actually getting the developer back before the commission, and so there was a three-month lag, and the developer came back before the commission under this item in order to get a 90-day allowance before they begin construction, and then a corresponding 90-day allowance before construction had to be completed. Nothing else in terms of the development agreement was offered as a revision.
Give me the numbers. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Do we have a motion to accept? I assume that there's a fiscal impact as it relates to this, but I'm not quite clear. Madam City Manager?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. With respect to the fiscal impact, theoretically there is no fiscal impact because there's nothing that in terms of any revenue or any expenditures that we would have budgeted that's being affected. The only real difference is that they won't actually open or begin business until 3 months, presumably until an additional amount of time has been added for them to perform construction. So I'm not sure. I know you can liken anything to a fiscal impact, but I don't believe that there is a fiscal impact by way of how we determine it here with respect to this item.
Okay. Well, then maybe I need to just accept a motion to as information. Or to
so
accept
moved.
Information. Okay. Do we have a second?
Second. This is Kim.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. The motion carries. Okay, resolution number 169253. This is the motion, a resolution authorizing the city manager to either piggyback off of a Miami-Dade County's external auditing services agreement or select a vendor from the list of the auditors vetted by Miami-Dade County. Do I have a motion to accept?
This is Bernita, so moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, resolution 169257, authorizing the city attorney to defend the city and the United States Association of CDC versus the city of Opa-locka. Believe that this has some fiscal impact and therefore requesting a motion to accept. Maybe we should go to discussion first. Any comments or questions?
Please do. We're trying, well, Bernita is trying to locate the item. So
It was an add-on.
To October 12th? It was an add-on,
yes,
October 12th?
It was an add-on.
Okay, so we don't have it in front of us. Got it.
Did you send the add-ons up? Oh, it was updated as was the rest of the agenda on Google. I can explain basically what it is if it helps.
That would be nice, yes.
Okay.
I was laughing.
Okay. So basically we have been, litigation has commenced against the city of Opa-locka. The vendor was a contractor who was contracted to work on our pump station 5. The agreement was a lump sum agreement for $450,000. There were several change orders that the vendor claims the city approved, but did not have any documentation to that effect, and the change orders amount to approximately $250,000. I was asked at the time when I was the assistant city attorney to review the agreement and advise and issue an opinion as to whether or not the change orders were valid, et cetera. We're being sued now because we have opined that the city owes nothing, one, because of the lump sum contract, and the terms of the agreement are very clear, and two, because the change orders, to the extent that they do exist, we have no evidence that they were actually valid or authorized by any member of the city. So he's decided to, this is, by the way, this company is owned by George Howard, and he's commenced suit. Vincent and I have discussed it, and hopefully we will be done with the litigation sooner rather than later.
If I may weigh in.
Yes, please.
When Yvette was working the file, she issued a civil theft letter to Mr. Howard because there was some monies he received that he should not have received, and the demand was made through a civil theft letter for him to return those monies so they could be paid to the rightful party. He refused to accept service via the U.S. Postal System. Now that he's had an attorney, we'll serve as a civil theft letter on the attorney. If the civil theft is perfected, because we're going to counterclaim for the civil theft, the city can receive not only attorney's fees, but treble damages under the civil theft count, as well as we may hit him with a malicious prosecution. This action has no bearing, and his attorney with a 57-105. That's the approach that I intend to take. Oh, I'm sorry. A 57-105 is when a party brings a meritless claim or a meritless motion or raise a meritless defense. The statute allows for the payment of attorney against actually the attorney who filed a frivolous motion or pleading or claim. So that's what it is.
This is Vernita. So moved.
JD, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay. There's a couple more that we need to cover. Resolution 16-9254 is a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Opa-locka permitting public hearing on ordinances for first reading. I don't believe that there's a fiscal, and I believe that this is just information for us. But Yvette, would you be able to explain the context for this particular resolution?
Yes, ma'am. By statute, the public is allowed to comment on first and second reading. It had been previously the policy of the commission to only allow comment on the second reading, and so what this resolution's purpose was to make sure that we are adhering to the requirements of the statute to allow comment on first and second reading for ordinances.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion to accept?
So moved.
I move by Walker. Ms. Walker, second.
Second, Mrs. Kim.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number 16-9254. Permitting, I believe it's the same one that we just covered, right?
Yes.
Okay. So 16-9255, establishing the City Canvassing Board as set forth in section 8.5-9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Opa-locka for the November 29th special election. Madam City Manager, could you explain this resolution and describe if there's a fiscal impact?
Yes, ma'am. The long and short of it is we were having an election. It would have been a regular election, not requiring this amount. However, based on the Supreme Court's decision, Ms. Nelson has shares in my chagrin. Based on the Supreme Court's decision regarding the rights of potential candidates, we now have to have this special election. We had asked whether or not the ballot could have been amended to allow for all of the candidates' names to appear, but by the time the Supreme Court decision came down, it was too late for that. And so by requirement, we have to have the special election, and the cost is the approximation of $30,000. But if it makes everybody feel better, the City of Miami Gardens has substantially more, and so we should all thank our wonderful Supreme Court for their judicial prudence.
Do I have a motion to accept?
So moved.
Okay, second.
Second, Mrs. Kim.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, there's three resolutions from the October 3rd meeting, and I believe that
And one more from one ordinance from the 12th that we still need to take up. There's two that ordinances that I, and actually three that I don't have numbers for from the October 3rd, so I'm going to be referring to it by reference content. But I only believe one of them requires a vote, since the others, there's two that passed on October the 3rd, one authorizing the city manager for the appropriation of all budget expenditure for the general fund budget, and the other one for the special fund budget. And I believe that those two have been rendered moot at this particular point in light of the additional scheduled hearings in October and early November. So we won't be taking those up. But I do believe, even though without number, I think it's important that we thank the commission for taking up the 10 mills. The ordinance with regards to the city of Opa-locka adopting the final millage rate pursuant to the 200.065 Florida statute for the fiscal year 2016-2017. The fact that that one was taken up, I don't have the number, but I think everybody knows the one I'm talking about. But I believe that I would like to signify support for this by acceptance. May I have a motion to accept?
Motion. This is Kim.
I second.
So moved.
Second, this is Marie.
So, second by Ms. Walker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. We look forward to the results that come after your future scheduled meeting for the next two budget hearings, and I really appreciate the work that everyone's doing to try to get a solid, clarified budget so that we can move forward. Really appreciate everybody's work on that. Okay, I believe the final ordinance that passed on the October 12th meeting. Madam City Manager, if you could describe the establishment of the new advisory board that's mentioned in this ordinance 16-13 to the City Commission to include consolidation and activation of the Historic Preservation Board and the Environmental Tree Preservation Board. Describe that ordinance and tell me what kind of fiscal impact that has.
Give me just a moment. I'm going to actually have someone from that department to explain it in specifics to you.
Okay, great. Take your time.
This is Gerald Lee, Zoning Official, Community Development Department. This ordinance, second reading ordinance, number one is for the establishment of a new advisory board that is a two-fold board that does both historic preservation and beautification and tree, environmental tree preservation. This was to consolidate the opportunities that would be required, and usually would be two separate boards, and instead going forward it would be one board that addressed things that the board that should have been doing it was not established or in operation.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions? Is there a fiscal impact, Madam City Manager, on the establishment of these boards?
How would that be?
No, ma'am.
I didn't see a fiscal impact.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to take a motion to accept ordinance number 16-13 as proposed by the commission.
This is Vernita. So moved.
I second.
Second.
Second by Marie Walker. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay, next item. The next item is discussion of documentation submitted to the board, and we have received correspondence addressed to me as the chairperson for the Financial Emergency Board dated October the 10th. And it's one, the Genovese Joblo and Batista letterhead, and it is signed by Alfredo Gonzalez. He is advising that they respectfully request that we have used the power of the Oversight Board to ensure the City Commission complies with its obligations under City Code and Florida law and the RFP. They are representing Waste Management Incorporated, and this information is being included in your agenda for your information based upon this letter representing Waste Management. I don't believe any vote is required. It is being distributed for your information as members of the board. I will transmit this also to Vince Brown, copying the city manager as information. I believe that the city clerk, Joanna Flores, was copied on this, but I'm not sure of the distribution within the city. I'd be happy to follow whatever protocol, Madam City Manager, that you would recommend to make sure that this is properly received by the city. Do you have any suggestions other than what I've recommended about forwarding this to Mr. Brown and copying you, or would you prefer me to address it both to you jointly?
Madam Chair, Ms. Flores has already received and forwarded the information to Mr. Brown and myself.
Okay, so no action is required. Well, then we'll consider you properly informed, and obviously including it in this public meeting also informs the other board members. Okay, the next item, I believe, make sure that I covered it. Okay. The next item is the proposed budget review process. As you know, our interlocal government agreement requires the budget to contain certain elements, and it specifies certain guidelines that the budget must contain or follow. And I would like to acknowledge Patty Nelson, give her the floor for a description of the proposed budget requirements along with the budget review process once we receive the preliminarily approved budget from the city. We're trying to provide some structure and framework for the board so that we can be efficient in the execution of our duties. So, Ms. Nelson.
Okay, the first document is the budget requirements. This document, for the most part, is taken directly from the interlocal agreement. I consolidated it into one document to make sure that it was easy to read and could serve as a reminder of all of the things that the interlocal agreement requires in the budget as well as the five-year financial recovery plan. That is essentially the first page of the budget requirements. The second page of the budget requirements contains some questions that arose when we looked at the draft of the budget that came up after the October 3rd meeting. So these questions are questions that perhaps, if it's possible, that you could address before you or when you officially submit the budget as approved by the mayor and commission. I think they're fairly self-explanatory. We can discuss them more in depth at a later date, perhaps when the budget is ready to submit. But I wanted to make sure they were in writing so that you could refer to them and have them in mind while you're finalizing the budget for submission. The second document is the budget review process. This is an outline of how the board will review the budget. One of the things that we wanted to make sure to do was give you notice that, you know, when we review this budget, we're going to need to go line by line through this budget, and I don't know that that's been done in a public meeting yet with this particular budget, so I anticipate that it's going to take quite a bit of time.
So I wanted to make sure that everybody realized that there's going to be quite a time commitment when it comes time to review this budget. And the budget will need to be presented to the board by members of the city in that line-by-line review. The board's not just going to sit around and go through the budget. It will need to be explained. It will need to be explained by not only, you know, the people who are responsible for the final draft of the budget, but also by all of the department heads who will be working under this budget. And I understand that their requests are different from what ended up in the actual budget, but their presence and their explanations are necessary to talk about last year's budget, to talk about the difference between last year's budget and this budget, to talk about what services might be impacted by any cuts that are made in this budget, and those kinds of details and facts are going to be necessary. So each department head needs to be available to discuss their portion of the budget when that comes up. Now, we'll hopefully be able to schedule it so that all of those people don't have to sit through the 2 days of meetings that I estimate it will be, but it is, needs to be done in a fairly normal procedure to go through when reviewing a budget. So those are the highlights of the budget review process. There's some more detail in there, including some additional questions about things that were that immediately just stood out when we reviewed the draft budget that we received. But we have time also to discuss this document if anybody has any questions, because obviously we won't receive the budget until after the November 10th final hearing on the budget. We won't receive it officially. So we have some time to talk about these documents if anybody has any concerns or comments or questions.
Any questions? Obviously, it may take a little bit for us to read this and process it and assimilate it, so we can obviously take it up at our next meeting.
I do have a request, and that's that it would help me in reviewing this if I had definitions, because as I'm doing a preliminary review, when I look at titles like office supplies, operating supplies, general expenses, it's hard for me to understand the differences of how those kind of categories are laid out, and it's not included in the glossary. So if we could just have definitions of all the various categories, then that would be helpful for me for reviewing.
And this is Francis. I think Patty has it someplace in here where we talk about, you know, when we do our presentation, talk about the budget and the way it's formatted, you know, what column headings mean. Because if you're not familiar with the budget process, it's a cumbersome document. So, you know, I would think that we would kind of walk us through it, what's the format, what's the title mean, the different columns, what's reflected in those columns. And I think that kind of hits where Ms. Walker was going with that.
Mm-hmm. I called each of the board members individually before this meeting to ask them to look through the budget, and this was before I realized we weren't going to get a final budget, but I encouraged them to look through for things that stood out to them. So if any of the board members at this time have anything that they'd like to mention that they saw on a quick skim of the budget, this would be a good time to do it. So if anybody has any of those comments, now's a good time.
And maybe this question is for Charmaine. What format is the budget in? Is it all in a Word document with tables inserted, or is it separate Excel spreadsheets in a Word document? How easy is it to make edits to these headers that Francis just mentioned?
The numbers are in an Excel spreadsheet, which is linked to the Word document.
Okay.
So once you update the Excel, you can simply go to the Word document and
okay.
tell it to update the information.
So it automatically populates?
Yes. Sometimes it automatically updates, but sometimes you have to tell it to do it.
Okay.
Once completed, we have to, then that's when we convert it to a PDF so that it's, once we transmit it, everything goes over okay.
Gotcha. Okay. I had noticed a couple of typos and maybe some inconsistent dates, maybe some things that needed to be updated to 2016-2017 estimates that I thought might be just some small minor edits, and I wanted to know how simple those kinds of things were, and we can try to funnel all of our comments, that sort of thing, before we get a final approved document, maybe to Patty and Francis, so that we can have you get one set of comments rather than having to deal with multiple board members. That way that we can funnel kind of to you in a strategic manner rather than bombarding you with 10 people calling you. Would that be helpful?
Yes, that would be very helpful.
Okay. The other question I had, and Yvette answered this for me yesterday on the phone, but maybe some of my other board members were thinking the same. When we're looking at the budget, there's three columns that pertain to the 2016-2017 budget. One is a proposed, one is a budget something else, and then the far right column is the 32-hour work week. So I believe that the budget that we'll be looking at will be using the proposed 2016-2017 full 40-hour work week proposal when we get the document. Is that correct?
Yes, it's using the proposed budget. The 32-hour work week was for information, mm-hmm. as it was requested at one of the meetings, in order for once the review is being done by the committee, for them to be able to differentiate the changes that
okay.
occur between the 40-hour and the 32-hour work week.
Okay. Is there any other questions from any of the board meeting or members as it relates to the budget document? Any questions that you had on the one that's been transmitted thus far that just sort of prompted a question in your mind?
This is Kim. Charmaine, is there any actual information that we can use to compare maybe to what's actually been proposed for this upcoming year?
The actual documentation?
No, actual numbers. In other words, for each of the line items, is there any, I know you were working with the county folks to kind of get your financial statements to an unaudited financial statement kind of status. Is there any way is there any actual numbers we can use to compare to what's being proposed for next year? To kind of give it a little bit of context, this is what was spent last year and this is what we're proposing for the next year.
We have, the county is still working on finalizing the numbers. They are reviewing in detail each line item. So they have not made much changes so far. So they're still working on that. The numbers we're using, what has been generated based on our expenditures for 2016. So that is something we can provide you from our general ledger.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. If it's feasible to do that, that would be great.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Bernita.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe it was Marie, I think, that asked the question about what each line item meant in the respective department. So my question is to Charmaine, those line items and how they're labeled, that's following the state's chart of accounts, right?
To my understanding, yes.
Yeah. So there's sort of a... there's the state sets a standard on how things are categorized through their chart of accounts, and I think the State Department of Revenue is the one that sort of keeps that chart of accounts. So if we could pull down that chart of accounts, which should be readily available and circulated so they can know if it's under supplies, the chart of accounts definition by the Department of Revenue, supplies includes all of this, equipment includes all of this, capital expenses, so on and so forth, that might help.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is Frances, and I just kind of want to reiterate kind of what Patty said. Really look closely at what was sent. It can be a lot. If you have any questions, just call Patty. But, I mean, this is really, really, what we need to be able to
you know, understand the budget itself. So there's a lot here that all of it is extremely important. And I think when I was talking about title headings, it's on that process, review process 3A. And I think that's kind of where you, when we start our hearings or when we start our discussion, you know, just kind of going over the overall budget and how it's laid out. One of the things that kind of jumped at me is I saw titles that were kind of incorrect, title heading documents. So, you know, as you prepare for your final submission, I would definitely just kind of go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And me, and I've got this thing about totals, too. And I like to see totals on documents. When you're putting your revenue together, totals on revenue, totals on the budget, not just by department, but something I can tie back to. So you could do that, and then I know there's a lot here. Maybe some of you have just received this document, so you know, don't hesitate to call if you need any kind of clarification. Thank you.
I'm sorry, this is Yvette. If you have, can you forward what your concerns are about some of the titles so that we can make sure that we...
I think, you know, Patty and I talked, you know, I provided Patty some information. She has pulled us together. And everything that we had concern about is listed. Well, see, I've got a proposed budget in front of me on page 28. I don't know if you got it in front of you.
Hey, Francis, I don't know if you're able to respond to this because it will need to be subject to authorization, but I'm wondering if you might be available to go down and sit with Charmaine and go through and spend an entire day or half a day or two half days or whatever to actually go in and clean up the document before it goes to the commission for vote.
Okay, I'll give Charmaine a call.
Okay.
And we'll go over some of the concerns.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I believe we're on to the next item, ratification of approved expenditure request. And it's my understanding that we have one expenditure, and it's a couple of our emergency requests for expedited expenditure review forms. I believe there's three of them. I don't know what the total is. But they are basically for installation of new water meters, and these have been submitted by Aria Austin, Public Works Director. Could I call on either the city manager or Mr. Austin to explain these particular expenditures that we have before for ratification?
Yes, ma'am. Aria is going to come to the podium.
Yeah, while he's coming to the podium, I just want to know if some of this, I see that there was some correspondence back and forth.
Yes.
So there's three different expenditure approvals, and maybe some of them have been consolidated, like the one that's dated the 30th. I just wanted to know, are these three separate ones, and they have been on their own, or are some of them been consolidated?
I'll give you a little chronology while coming up to the podium. I originally got the request on September 30th, and it was two separate request forms, and there was no detail as to why it was an emergency or what exactly it was for. So I sent an email back requesting certain information and requesting that the forms be filled out in more detail because I knew that whoever I presented them to for approval was going to want some detail on both of those topics, why it was necessary and why it was an emergency. But then I got back, the new form that I got back that had more detail consolidated both of them onto one form. So that's why there are three separate forms. So the form that has been consolidated with a total of $4,072.97 is the most updated form of expenditure form for these items, if that helps. Clear it up.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Before Mr. Austin gives his explanation as to what these were for, I also want to advise that we were asked to include information on what the freight cost would be for these. Freight is $40, and that information was provided subsequent to the last request was sent. And so if you can add $40 to the amount, I have the invoice here that can be received. If you can just add $40 to the amount that's listed, and it becomes $412.97.
This is Patty. I don't recall getting that email. Can you just ask Shemeka or whoever sent it to re-forward it so that I can put all of the information together?
Okay. We'll forward it to you. We'll forward it now.
Thank you.
This is Aria Austin. How can I further clarify this request?
At this point, can you just explain the request and why it's necessary? I think that probably would just be the best at this point.
We have customers requesting new service, and as you heard from the previous part of the meeting, we do not have materials in stock. Therefore, there's a need to purchase this material to issue service to the requesting businesses.
It should also be noted that the young lady who appeared at the last meeting, the one who determined, who acknowledged herself as an attorney, two of these meters are for her property as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are all of the meters that are covered in this expenditure request, are they all already earmarked for certain customers, or are there some extras?
They are all earmarked for inoperative meters as well.
Okay, do we have any other questions?
I just want to point out that because I hadn't received the email on freight, then this is really still pending.
Okay.
It's never been formally approved. So I had sent it to the vice chair, but I don't think we had yet kind of brought it to closure. So I just wanted to make sure that that's clear, that when you vote on this, you're actually voting to approve it, not to ratify an approval.
Okay. And that's because we have the outstanding email about the freight issue. And Yvette, can you summarize the contents of that email with regards to the freight that I sent? $40. Okay. So it's not a ratification.
Ma'am.
Okay. So it's not a ratification. It's approval.
Correct.
Okay.
The quotation and act. Oh, I'm sorry. The quotation that was sent with respect to freight. It was also sent, I believe, to the vice chair as well, and I don't believe he's had an opportunity as of yet to finalize it. But it includes a description of items A regarding one model of a meter, and then item B, and then underneath it indicates that freight is $40. It has at the top to the right where you'll see it a revised 2, which means it's the second quotation that's been provided. I'm going to actually hand this to the vice chair now so that he can actually physically review it.
And Mr. Vice Chair, would you recommend that we hold off on approval pending your review, or would you recommend us do something else?
No, I approve, recommend that we approve it. I did look at this before, and I saw the question and the answer. I thought I had approved it before, so apparently I didn't. So this is my recommendation is to approve it.
Okay. Do I have a second?
This is Bernita, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. That leads us to the invoice approval from this morning's Contract Review Committee. Mr. Ellison, you have the floor. Can you walk us through what's been approved and what you're recommending?
We have two sets that were recommended for approval by the Contracts Review Committee this morning. The Water and Sewer Fund is the first one. You have the items 1 through 10. All of those tie out to that copy that you have, which is a synopsis. And the committee recommended approval, passed a resolution to that, and I would look for the board, or I'll make a motion to the effect that the board ratify the action of the committee and approve those invoices for payment.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, Frank, general fund?
All right, the next one is the general... set, and then there again, we had committee and the board has the full list of all of them. The committee recommended approval all except for item number 56, which was the payment to Mr. James Smith for the lease of personal vehicles to transport the mayor. That was deferred and taken out until we get some further information from the administration on that. And that resolution was approved by the committee, and I make a motion that the board ratify the action of the committee to pay all of those invoices with the deferral of item number 26.
Okay. Second? I'm sorry, Patty's making a correction, all except for 56, right?
That is correct, all except for item number 56.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
JD,
second.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, wonderful. Item number 4, ethics training. I would like to recommend that the city manager reach out to Joe Centurino post-election for the commissioners and the city top officials to request a mandatory ethics training for the commission and for the top of city officials that have procurement authority, and implement some sort of policy to periodically, maybe even on an annual basis, receive that ethics training. So I will just request that the city manager follow up on that by this agenda item. Would you be willing to do that, Yvette?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Board member updates. So let's go around the room, so to speak. Let's start with the folks here in Tallahassee so that our noise, we can put you on mute and maybe you'll stop hearing my papers rustle. Board member updates, if I could call on Marie Walker, do you have any comments at this time?
No updates.
Okay. Anybody on the phone?
This is Christian Weiss. I don't have any updates.
Okay.
This is Andrew Collins. Go ahead, Kim.
This is Kim Mills. I have no updates.
Okay.
This is Andrew Collins. I actually am continuing to work with DMS and they sort of working with them as they pursue their audit of the FRS. I know we talked about healthcare and pension liabilities. So I've been working with them, but no additional report. They're still collecting information and doing their analysis.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's move to the commissioners in the room, and I'm going to put you on mute just so that I can stop rustling papers in your ears. Mr. Chair, if you'll kind of lead the discussion there on the ground in Opa-locka.
Thank you, because when you said in the room, I was wondering which room you were talking about.
The one that counts. The room that counts, sir.
By the way, Commissioner Holmes is also present.
Good morning, Commissioner.
I'm here.
This is Vernita. I have no update.
Frank Wallison, I have no updates, and let the last comment reflect that the Vice Mayor is here.
This is J.D. Patterson. I'm sorry, go ahead and say good morning to the Vice Mayor.
Good morning, Vice Mayor.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you, sir. I have no update either, other than I'm trying to get a report done by the end of the month, this month.
Okay. I have a question for Frank. With regards to Caro Lane, do you have any new information on Caro Lane since our last meeting?
I do not. I mean, I'm not sure where we are now on acquiring the land or what's happening. I mean, we approved the change order for the extra work to be done. I know the state has rejected their position on the American Iron Works and that they've agreed to go in at their expense and replace the fittings that have to come up to code. I don't know whether that work has started, and I don't know where we are on the acquisition of the parcels.
Okay, I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. Maybe I should ask Yvette if she has an update then on the Carew Lane status.
Vincent?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you provide a legal update, and then I'll have Mr. Austin provide an actual update in terms of the actual property.
We advise the attorney that's representing the fourth parcel in Carew Lane that the resolution was approved to acquire them. However, the acquisition requires the outlay of funds. And so the budget was just approved, well, has not been approved, but they've been made aware that the commission has authorized the acquisition of the real estate, not the easement. We're buying the land. We're not buying an easement. We're buying the land.
So where does that really leave us? We have, as I understood it, we had the funds in this year's budget, not the next year's budget.
We'll have the check cut. I just need to get direction on how and where to have the check cut.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. As it relates to the materials that were not compliant with AIS, the vendor has reached out to us this week, and they've identified all the material, and we're going to be going to the provider, the supplier of the material, to verify that it meets our standards and then give them the go-ahead to start the installation of the preferred material. That's going to take place next week.
Okay.
As we move forward on this, he had committed to us that if everything got squared away, he would mobilize in December. That was the time,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
So where are we with FPNL moving the poles? That's waiting on getting the land.
That's waiting on the easement, yeah.
And we're in the middle of October now. So, I mean, December is going to be, I tell you, with Florida Power and Light, December is going to be a tight fit. If we don't get something going, it'll be after the first of the year. And that's just logistics of making it work.
We'll have the check cut this coming week, and then hopefully we'll be able to get everything done within the time frame as previously anticipated.
You know, I say this only because March, April will be in the rains again.
This is Christian Weiss. Is the city going to buy the materials directly, or is the contractor buying the materials?
Since the materials did not meet the specification, the contractor will be responsible for the purchase.
If that's the case, the contractor will have to pay sales tax on it. Whereas if the city were to buy it, and there may be liability issues, I understand that, sales tax would not be due under our statute. Just a thought to perhaps save some money.
That's the normal, but we'll pass that on as well.
The city, I mean, this is Yvette. The city's not going to buy the material. The contractor made an error, and the contractor needs to correct it. We're not buying the material.
Hi, this is Angela. I just want to make sure that we get pictures of the proof that it's American-made for this round.
We'll provide you with copious amount of pictures.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Olson. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Okay. Is that everyone for a board member update? Any questions? Okay. I'm going to ask Patty and Heather to reach out to the board members to work with them on the scope statements of the current assigned tasks and to get an update on any current assignments that y'all have submitted to us already in writing. That we took up at one of our initial meetings. If we can get an update to any of those assigned tasks we'll include that. Andrew, if you'll work on a scope statement to provide to Patty on what the scope of your assistance is relative to the Department of Management Services, we'll incorporate that into the task listing. I'm also hopeful that I can call on Kim Mills to work with the city to provide technical expertise in the process of them instituting an audit committee and or the resolution for piggybacking to select an auditor for the city. So if, yes. If Kim, you could help provide technical expertise to Yvette and to Mr. Brown and to Charmaine and others as necessary on the forming of an audit committee and the selection of the auditor that the commission has authorized, then I'm confident in your technical expertise on that front, and I think that they will benefit from your technical advice.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I believe that we are now at the time of the other new business and scheduling our next financial emergency board meeting. So I would like to see if the October 27th Thursday, if we could do much like we did today with having the contract review committee present first and then the financial emergency board could follow. I'm wondering how the board, if the 27th at the same time frame as today is acceptable to the members and the majority of the members. Obviously, I want my vice chair to be first on the list to make sure that he's free, and then we'll kind of go down the list for the others. So I want to check in with you on that.
Melinda, I'm not available that day. I'll be in training all day long.
Okay. Others?
This is question. I am available.
Okay.
JD, it looks good to me.
Okay.
This is Angela, and that works for me.
This is Bernita. I'm available after 11.
Okay.
This is Frank. I can make it.
Awesome. All right. Yvette and the Sherbundy Village Technical Support Team. How does the 27th look for you for a contract review and financial emergency board meeting?
That works, except that keep in mind that at 5:01 we have our first hearing scheduled for our budget. So that's
okay.
For us.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll try to keep it brief so that y'all can get back to everything that you've got going on, and I appreciate you being so accommodating for our schedules, and really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We appreciate your efforts and your help as well.
Okay. So anything else before we move to the commissioner comments? Commissioners, I'm going to give this back to my vice chair so that he can properly recognize the folks in the room.
Madam Chair, I'm going to have to depart, but I'm going to leave that in the hands of Frank.
Okay, very good.
All right, we're all set. If the Madam Mayor or any of the commissioners want to come forward and have anything to say. I hear that the mayor is thanking everybody for our cooperation.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm so glad that you guys survived the storm properly and without damage, and really pleased that the storm decided to go in a different direction for the city of Oglala. I know that some of our colleagues up the eastern coast didn't fare as well as others. And so my prayers certainly go out to the folks on the eastern coast as they grapple with the post-storm But I was relieved when I spoke to you on Saturday morning to hear that you had toured the city and that you had found everything was acceptable and that there had been no real significant damage. So I was pleased to hear that. And thank you for the update, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. I thank you for your prayers. You're probably the cause that Matthew went another way because he liked you, but he liked Nicole better. Thank you again.
Thank you, ma'am. Sure appreciate it. Okay.
Vice Mayor, anything you'd like to say, sir?
A lot I would like to say.
Can we get him a mic, please?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon again. It's a lot I would like to say. I am very disappointed in this city. And when I was here the last time and talked in front of you all, I haven't seen nothing change since then. So I'm going to keep my comments to myself until I see some change for the better in this community. Right now, I don't see it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Santiago. Oh, I think that does it for us at this end, Madam Chair.
Okay. What about public comment?
We're approaching the mic.
Good morning, everyone, both present and via phone.
I'm not quite as short as the mayor, but you can bring it down. Thank you. Do I have to get my address?
Yeah, just your name and a.
I'm kind of scared to get my address, but I'll give it. My name is Dorothy Johnson, 13724 Northwest 22nd Place, Opa-locka, Florida. I have a couple of clarifications that I need of the board. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your passing of the public hearing for first reading. Very, very important that we have the public input, and as a whole, I think I can speak for many. However, does this mean that the legislation that is on the agenda will not get a second public hearing? And I was sort of confused, so I want to make sure I understand it correctly. What is the intent? To avoid the second reading for the public not to have input?
No, that you're allowed to speak at both.
Okay.
The first and the second. There has to be two readings of the ordinance.
Okay. I don't like to follow up rumors, so I'm coming for clarification because I was told that this committee took off Opa-locka agenda the account payable report. And if so, I think that's a displacement for the citizens, and I think that we, the taxpayers, need to have that on the agenda so that we can know how funds are being spent. And if you recommend it, I would like for you strongly to consider that being added back to the agenda.
Yes, ma'am. And I can speak to that.
Yes, ma'am.
We did ask Yvette for an update, and Charmaine updated us that they were still working on that accounts payable listing. I will make sure that that is a continued agenda item going forward. That was just a Scrivener's error by omission by not including that, but at least we covered it verbally. It does still have a whole lot of room for improvement to get that list finalized. And so I'm hopeful that they will be able to do that. And as you noted, that Charmaine was able to explain that there's several audits that are underway that are precluding them from being able to finalize that document. But I do know that the CFO staff that came down will soon have a report on their review that I think that you'll want to pay close attention to that will include some assessment of the last 12 months at least of expenditures by the city. So I'm hopeful that you'll get some satisfaction to your question, but we will continue to keep that on the agenda. So thank you very much for the question.
You're absolutely welcome. My next is that I'm very pleased to see that you did give the approval for Miami-Dade County listing of the auditors, because those listings that are coming from the county has already been vetted, and there is no cost to the city for us to utilize that, so that's great. Again, I'm going to approach on rumor because I do need a clarification. It was brought to my attention that our previous auditor resigned, and I know that there was some dialogue about we're not having one, so if someone resigned, you're not on your book, you need to get someone. So
yes,
can ma'am. Someone clear that up for me?
I can answer that again, too, and this is Melinda. There was in two meetings ago of the Financial Emergency Board, the city manager had forwarded us a letter where HCT had in fact resigned. That letter was included as part of our agenda two meetings ago. And so that's the reason that the city commission gathered together with the city manager's recommendation, the resolution that we signed off or approved today to begin that piggybacking process on the Miami-Dade County approved vendor listing. And I'm confident I assigned Kim Mills, one of our board members, to provide technical expertise and oversight to that process. So I'm very confident that they are moving forward with, but your reference to a rumor is accurate, that HCT did in fact resign. So thank you for that question as well.
Thank you very much. I have two others. One of my questions is, not often I can get to these meetings. I try my very hardest to be here, but I do need some guidance as to where I can find minutes from the meeting for public records for me to review. I don't want to pay for any copies. It can be via email, and I can copy it on my own and distribute to those citizens within the city limit. So is
yes.
there a place, website,
yes.
or someone to contact?
Yes, ma'am, and I'd be happy to.
I have your number.
Yes, ma'am. My assistant, Joanne Osborne, can also mm-hmm. receive email requests, and you can also call our office, and we'd be happy to make those available to you. We did sign off and approve the August 30th minutes today, so we'd be happy to make those available to anyone that wants to ask for those, and it's relatively small. Document itself, but if you will contact my office, we can get you squared away.
Thank you very much. My last question. I have always, even as a commissioner and now as a civilian citizen, has always been in the opinion, and also with my HR, I'm a senior human resource manager, certified and trained. And I do agree with the concept of both Frank and Vanita's. And the Postal Service, we more or less use what Miami Garden, the model, that the framework that they use when you are coming in, we call it eat the elephant. And so when we had to eat the elephant, there was process. I have always thought of the opinion it is better for a person to have a job than not have a job. And I'm also an opinion that the higher rank would take the consequence to have the lower ones come up to them. Because there are so many. I witnessed during the hurricane. I'm not going to call names. I'm not here for glory. I give God all the glory. But it was a city employee was in Walmart, and they did not have enough money to pay for their goods. I in turn took my ATM, and I paid for it. But the ones that actually do the work, I'm not talking about the ones in the suits. I'm not talking ones that don't get dirty. I'm talking about the ones that actually make us look good. And I think when you look at the budget and you say you took a 25%, is that from salary? If so, those ones that are on the bottom have not had an increase in 9 years. And those are the ones that make at least $20,000 a day in the 21st century. It's not fair. I make more than that retired, sitting on my bum bum. However,
our job as citizens and as individuals and leaders is to make it better for the others, the least. And I hope that my words don't go on deaf ear. This is not personal. This is business. And I'm speaking under the anointing. Thank you.
I can speak to that, too. Today we had some discussion about the furloughs and the salary cuts for all ranks. And so we are going to work to provide some recommendations to the city so that we can ensure that we're taking care of the hardworking employees of the city of Opa-locka, and so that we can address the budget reduction process with equity and fairness and compassion, but with also business prudence and focus on bottom line costs. But Ms. Johnson, I appreciate your comments today very much. Back to you, Frank. Do you have other public comments?
No, we got it. Here we go.
Good afternoon. Our name is Stephen Barrett, City of Opa-locka. We as citizens want to thank you for continuing to help our community. What I'm going to say is not personal to any employee, but these are our concerns. Is that first, we're going to talk about the contract with the city attorney. For a city this small, $22,000 a month is too much money for a city this small. We cannot afford the attorney $22,000 a month. Now, back in June 12th, 2015, on the mayor's financial task force, at the chairperson, we asked for a copy of the employees' salaries. And back then, we knew that we were having financial problems. And commission passed not to having the salaries increase. But from that time, we had three other city managers at the time. So I'm going to talk about one department. Back on that time, the HR director, he was making $65,999. When he left that same year, less than so many months, you bring the director we have now was a HRS specialist making $52,999. And now she's making over $87,000 a year. That's not fair to the rest of the employees, because if they mistreated HRS director we have now, I'll be saying the same thing for her, that she's being mistreated. But the employees know about that. These employees is not going to work hard for the city when someone else is making all the goods. That means her salary went up over $37,000 less than a year. That's not fair to the rest of the employees. It brought to my attention she made more than the city manager. You have employee directors here that have been with this city more than 10 years is not making that kind of money. They did a salary adjustment. Look at the director before at $65,999 and compare now with their experience. The other director don't have that experience, because when they came out of college, that was their job working here in the city at $52,999. And this is not personal. This is talking about being fair. that you have a city manager that is an attorney, and she's not making that much. Y'all need an investigation because employees feel like that they don't have the same equal opportunities as other people. And this is a small city. And you will not get people to put in 100% knowing that you have the top level people making all the money. They're not really making any money. That's not fair. Until we get this in order, we're not going to be able to move the city forward. The employee, if you had a meeting with the employees behind closed doors, you'd be surprised what they say. They are not happy. That's not fair. So we need y'all to do something about that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else from the public that would like to speak?
Good afternoon. My name is Tamara Ducio, and this is Juanita. I don't know her last name because I just met her at the City Hall. I am a resident at Georgia Ayers Apartments, the new establishment that was built over in the city of Opa-locka. The reason that I'm here is because it's, first of all, to address the issues I'm having with the water bill. I am a college student, and I'm on a base budget as far as for all of my bills, everything that I need to pay, books and everything. Last month, well, first of all, let me state, I haven't received a physical statement at my address in over 5 months. Last month when I went to go and pay my bill, I asked for the little slip, which is one of these, which I was given today. And every time I asked, that's how I received how much my monthly bill is. I asked, why did my bill go up an extra $18? The young lady who was at the window said, well, maybe let me compare, and she compared my bill that she's trying to make me pay, the 42 whatever, from over a year and a half ago. When I addressed it with Mr. Shiverton, when we had our Crime Watch meeting over in Georgia Ayers over a year and a half ago, he said that the problem is that we're making some arrangements. We're going to do something where you can pay your bill online and you don't have to stand over there, and that way you'll be able to see your statements, how much you usage or whatever. Here we are again, and we still don't have that system in place.
All right, let me stop you for a second. Okay. And I feel your frustration, but you're in the right church, but the wrong pew, as my daddy would say. You need to address these concerns with the city administration. This is a city operational thing. We understand that there are issues with the water bills for a lot of people.
Right.
But that's not what this board is here to address.
And I apologize that, but the reason why is because I have gone and I have requested the officials or the representative that sits on, and I just keep getting a run back and forth, or you need to make an appointment, come back this time, and I am a student, and the times that they want me to be, I can't because I am in school.
Understand.
So
maybe the manager can
me,
have somebody get your name and contact and set something up. Jamaica, can you, I mean, somebody help her?
Back and forth. Okay, well, I do apologize.
No,
but
you don't
since
apologize.
This came and this meeting was being held, I felt that if I had the time, let me come when I do have it, and that way I won't get the runaround, and there was the one that directed me to come to this meeting.
The director of the department is sitting right here, and
okay.
He's going to get some information from you and try to reconcile what your problem is with your water bill.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else that would like to come and address the board? I see none, Madam Chair. I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, well, thank you. I was just pointed out that I skipped over an item on our other category that I just want to alert the city manager that one of the additional tasking that we're going to do with regards to the police department is to expand upon the work that J.D. Patterson has already begun. We want to have the Florida Department of Law Enforcement come in and do an assessment of certain elements of the police department relative to the evidence room, the process for addressing allegations against the police officers, and the reporting to the Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission. So I had
failed to mention that at the other category, but wanted to expand upon that assignment, and I'm going to work with Patty and JD on this particular matter so that we can ask the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to help. There may be even some additional local experts that can help in conducting a thorough assessment so that we can do a fleet assessment as well on their cars and their equipment and their training for the police officers. I mentioned at the last meeting, or two meetings ago, we were going to be looking to some subject matter expertise at the Department of Management Services so that we could do and provide some best practices recommendations on procurement. I've not moved forward with that as of yet, and not until we have a more definitive budget. So obviously our priority is to get a final approved budget for the city. And once we have finished that, then we'll undertake the procurement review. But I want to thank everybody for your time today. I want to thank everybody for your hard work. I want to thank the commissioners for taking time out of their busy schedule, and particularly want to thank the staff and the employees of the City of Opa-locka for being here with us today and for providing all of the information to handle this robust agenda. I want to thank the members of the Financial Emergency Board and Merritt Stierheim and his team for the technical expertise that they're providing there in the city. And then again, finally, to the folks here in Tallahassee and the members of the public, thank you so very much for all of your time. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. This is Kim.
Okay, second.
Second.
All in favor? All right, we are adjourned. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You still need me?
Okay, 8 o'clock.